Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and wherever you are, these are tough times, and we hope all of you are able to do something to make plans, because we don't know when, but we generally know it is going to happen, and what it is not pleasant. Whether it's food, and they're clearly clamping down on agriculture, on farming. There's a war on food out there, and that's going to come home to roost, believe it. So if you don't have any emergency food, and you've got an extra $100 or whatever, or you can remember, go to that garage. There's usually buried treasure out there, and you can have a garage sale. You need to do that. You need to get some food, even for a month, for goodness sakes. Don't be caught. And I know most of you are at least aware. If you're not prepared, you're aware of the fact. Now, the really nice thing to do is to set up a community of like-minded people who are going to prepare. And it's always great to talk to Stefan because he has done it. He's probably the world's number one authority on how to set up a preparedness survival community of people, anywhere from 20 to 100, 200. It's usually small, but the data is all there. The blueprints are there, and he will lead you through it. And if you want to set up a group like that, which I urge all of you to try to do, even if you've only got half a dozen, it doesn't matter, because you're working together. And when invaders come into your neighborhood, you're going to want to have people you can alert and count on to take up arms with you if you have to or whatever. Don't play around with this. These are unprecedented times, and they're only going to get worse. Hello, Stefan. Welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. Thanks for having me again.
My pleasure. My pleasure. You had a tough time last month. I forget what it was, but I hope that's all resolved.
Well, you know, they're coming after people like me and you, as you know. For those listeners that don't know, Jeff and I are a couple of old grizzled truth warriors. I've been fighting this battle. You've been doing it longer than me, but at least 40 years.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, qualitative is the most important thing, and you have been through this long journey, and you have assimilated so much valuable information. And any of you out there who have heard Stefan before, you want to pay close attention to whenever he's on. You always learn something from him. How big is your community, again, just for openers? I can't recall. It's a couple hundred, something like that?
Well, it's 80 to 100.
Okay, yeah, 100.
Roughly, we've got 100. But we have sister communities. It's not just one. Like, our community is very, you know, well-organized, and we're doing a lot of good work. But we also go around and help other people with their communities. So within a two-hour drive of us, there's probably another four communities, and they have anywhere from 25 to 150 people each.
How nice. Do you ever all get together, all four or five communities, and just compare notes and stuff, or do you email each other? You probably all have websites.
No, we don't have websites.
Oh, you're staying low profile.
Yeah. No websites, Jeff, because, the government's going to come after people like us soon.
Government, you know, your government, your alleged government, is even worse than this one, which is bad enough. What's happening in Canada is disgusting. I don't understand. I get it. And there are so many Chinese out west. Do you hear about that, being a Canadian? Do the Canadians talk about the fact that Vancouver is now called Hongcouver? They got so many Chinese out there, it's crazy.
I knew this, 30 years ago already, that the Chinese community in Toronto was already the largest Chinese community outside of China.
In Toronto? Now, I didn't know that.
Yeah, how in Toronto. This was the statistics I came across, about 35 years ago, just before I went on my trip to China, moved to China. And now, of course, Vancouver has outdone us. And so, yeah, we've got probably got, you know, half of China and Canada now.
Wow. Well, they don't like us. There are exceptions, of course, but generally speaking, we are the enemy. What was it? Oh, doggone it. I saw a story yesterday. It had something to do with a consumable food product. Oh, what the hell was it? Oh, it was red spice, okay, like pepper, chili pepper, chili powder. Red chili powder had an illegal red dye substance in it from China. And it was being sold over here and being sold also. Chili powder, red. And so I would urge you, don't buy it if it comes from China.
No, I agree. Don't buy anything that comes from China.
Nothing
at all. It's horrific. It's beyond the pale of imagination what they do in China. They fake everything. They fake eggs. They have literally factory manufactured eggs that look exactly like eggs.
What?
They paint. Yeah.
I need a little more on this. I haven't heard this. What, they're faking eggs now?
They're faking
artificially
everything.
Created eggs?
Yes. Yeah, it looks exactly. It's got the yolk. It's got the what's the other part of it?
The albumin, the white.
Yes, the albumin. Thank you. It looks exactly like eggs. And China is the land of fakes and forgeries and scams. They fake everything. I mean, to make their country look more green. What they actually do, believe it or not, Jeff, is they go out and they spray paint the hills green.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, but everything is fake. We already know about all the knockoffs, the Gucci bags and the fashion and things like that. But they paint their meat. It's not just the chili peppers they paint. Like they paint their cows, they paint their pigs, they paint their sheep to make it look fresher. Yeah. So you go there and you go to the butcher. And, oh, that looks like a nice piece. The butcher was out in the back alley painting it 10 minutes earlier. Everything is fake.
I hesitate to ask. Do you think they're using some kind of synthetic coloring that is at least non-toxic for their own people? Or do they even give a damn?
They don't give a damn. No, they poison everybody. They don't care. They really don't care. And so, big scandal in China, but so what? Nobody does anything about it.
Well, and sounds like over here.
The worst of it is...
Nobody's doing anything about it. I'm going to file a lawsuit. Are you crazy? Never mind.
Yeah, that'll work. Let me know how that goes.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to sue the government. I hear that so often, and all I can do is laugh. I said, you don't know what's going on. I just watched a documentary the other night about the fall of Minneapolis, about the George Floyd and the Chauvin trial. And, God, that guy was set up.
He was completely hung out to dry. Poor guy.
Hung out to dry.
Yeah.
The whole trial was a farce. What the judge wouldn't allow. He wouldn't allow the footage, this and that. You know, but there you go. There you go. Okay. There's your justice system. You're going to trust that. You know, my advice to people has always been, whatever you do, don't call the police. Don't get involved with it. Because once you're into that system, it is so corrupt. They'll chew you up and spit you out, and there's nothing you can do about it. I don't care how many lawyers you have, because they set it up. They're all in on it, and it's pretty awful. So forget about suing the government.
I'm almost to a point now where just stay the hell out of the court system, period. I don't care what it is. Unless they come in and kill your family, stay out of the court system. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
If you win, it's by pure luck or coincidence, and they're going to take all your money. Lawyers will just suck you dry. No more money.
Yeah.
take your finances and just drink it up like a bottle of beer.
Yeah, I've said that for years about divorces. I said, just work something out. No, I got a divorce lawyer. And I said, okay, so after her lawyer and your lawyer finish taking whatever common property you have, you'll both be living in the garage. They'll just rob you blind. But I don't know. There's a few cases here in Canada with divorces, and it was just... Anyways, another story for another time, Jeff. Yeah. But what's going on here? Well, listen, I feel, Jeff, like, you and I, we've been fighting this battle for a long time at the New World Order. Basically, that's who we've been fighting against. And I feel like it's like fighting a forest fire. And the fire line is getting closer and closer and closer. And I got to keep backing up, backing up, backing up. And the only thing I got to throw at the fire is all I can do is piss on the fire to try and put it out. That's about as much power as I have to stop.
I got it.
What's happening, So here I am drinking as much beer as I can so I could piss out the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But the latest.
Go ahead. Go.
The latest step back I've had to take, and I've spent the last few days going through the internet, finding all my old videos and deleting them. I have to delete them, Jeff, because glorious leader Justin Castro is footing a new bill, a new censorship bill here in Canada called Bill 63. Now, like the scumbags they all are, they hide things in these bills. They're in the United States with Pelosi. Oh, we got to pass the bill to know what's in it.
Right. Sure. I get it.
So, they put a nice title on the bill, but then hidden inside the bill is a bunch of dirty shenanigans. So we've got the new Bill 63, and it's meant to protect children. Well, we're saving the children, Jeff. And anytime the government says they're saving the children, it's something really bad. So part of the bill says, you can't share, child pornography online. I think that's already illegal anyways. But the second half of the bill is about hate speech, which, what an Orwellian term, hate speech. Like you can determine what a person's emotions were while they were committing a crime. It just drives me insane. Jeff, the whole world's insane. What can they do? So, but wait a minute. It gets better. Hate speech. But now guess what the penalty is for hate speech.
I've covered the story a couple times. It is outrageous. It's beyond words. That bad. It's insane. Canada has turned against its people. Listen to this. Go ahead. Tell them, Stefan.
Life imprisonment.
Now, this is for saying something negative, which is determined to be hate, totally subjective definition, and you'll get put away for the rest of your life in Canada. Do you understand how insane that is? This is pure satanic evil. This is not human behavior.
Yeah, so I got to be careful now, Jeff. I've been trying to speak the truth as much as I can, and where I speak the most truth is during my live streams. But if you listen to any of my live streams, and God forbid the government should listen to my live streams, well... they'll probably reinstitute the death penalty for me.
Right.
If you can get life imprisonment for hate speech, they'll reinstitute the death penalty for what I say on the live streams, because I don't hold back, Jeff. I tell the truth, the way I see it, and the way I know it, and the way we all know what it is, for crying out loud. People that can't see the truth are asleep or just hopelessly stupid. But for those of us, your listeners, especially Jeff, you and your listeners and my listeners, we all know what the truth is. You don't really need me to tell you, but because we know it, but it's nice to hear somebody else say it out loud. so we don't feel like we're the only one out here, you know. And I get that from a lot of the listeners. It's like they send me emails and letters and they say, you know, I just like to listen to you because I feel like I'm the only one left in the world that sees what's going on. And I feel a little bit lonely. And just to listen to somebody else that sounds like they're sane, speaking the same truth is a comfort to them. So, I can't take the chance of going life imprisonment. Listen, you know, of course, then about the story about that gentleman in England that got 2 years for stickers that say abolish white guilt and white lives matter. So if you're saying things like white lives matter,
technically that's reverse hate. That's what they'll call it. You could be in big trouble for that. This is insane. I mean,
just now me saying it on your show, who knows? Wait a minute, who's that knocking on my door?
God, I'm glad you can still laugh at it. I just don't even believe it. A verbally spoken phrase, word, or statement can get you put in prison for the rest of your life in Canada. That book is closed. There's no more freedom there. It's done.
It's
no
done.
No more freedom of speech. It's gone.
Stick a fork in it. Yeah, we're
Unbelievable.
Done.
Unbelievable. It just boggles my mind to hear that. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was some kind of satire.
Yeah, you know? wish. But Jeff, to be honest with you, I saw this coming because this is exactly what they did in Soviet Russia. This is Bolshevism. This is what the Bolsheviks did. You know, I mean, they were killing people for wearing glasses because if you wore reading glasses, that implied you did a lot of reading. And if you did a lot of reading, that implied you were an intellectual. And if you were an intellectual, the Bolsheviks had to kill you.
Yep. Yeah.
So this is where it's going. I knew this was coming. I didn't think it would be here this soon. And hopefully, I kept thinking, well, maybe after I'm dead. But no, I'm still alive, and I have to witness this firsthand. And so meantime, I'm pulling down all the interviews. Because, listen, they already did that to me on one of the interviews with you. It's all your fault, Jeff. It's all your fault. Wow. You said the word. You said the V word in one of the interviews from 3 years ago, and they found it and they pulled it down and gave me a strike on YouTube. A 3 year old
interview. They really did. This is true.
Yeah. I told you that last time. I think I told you that I got another strike on YouTube. This was a couple of months ago. Uh-huh. And, well, what was the offending video? Well, it was the video with Jeff Rentz. And I'm going, okay. And then, you know, you can check. It'll tell you where the offending part is, right? You click on it. It'll give you the timestamp. So I listened to it. What the hell did I say? And it wasn't me. It was Jeff mentioned the V word.
Oh, I don't remember you telling me this. Maybe you did. I was dozing or something. But
that's okay. You got so many guests.
That's unbelievable. I'm sorry. That's incredible.
Oh, it's not your fault.
So it's not just guilt by association. You're guilty if someone else just has a different opinion than you do and says it in your presence on a radio broadcast.
That's right. That's right.
This is hard to believe.
No, it's not hard to believe. This is communism. Welcome to the communist country. And this is, of course, YouTube, and that's in the United States. So, yeah, Canada is communist shithole. But you guys aren't too far behind. You're just, you know, you're just a half a league behind us on that. And so now, you know, you got to think, what did I say 3 years ago? Because you can go back that far. And did I say something that's hate speech? And if they gave this poor guy in England 2 years for saying white lives matter, listen, I can't, you know, if they put me in prison for 2 years, my life is over. I can't do it.
Right.
Who's going to
come
to my apartment? Who's going to look after the cats?
You're going to lose everything. They know it.
I will lose everything for something as simple as white lives matter. Oh, not allowed to say that. That's hate speech. Again, I've already committed now like four or five hate speech crimes in the last 2 minutes that could get me arrested.
Have they, Stefan, have they listed the statements and subjects that will get you potentially prison?
No.
Do they list them? Is there a master list?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of, which is also part of the plan, right?
Of course.
Because that way you don't know what it is. So you're going to censor everything you say.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just sickened. Damn those people. They're not
normal. I know.
These are not normal human beings. Not by any stretch. No way.
No, I know. You know me, I'm a huge skeptic. I don't believe in gods.
You question
and angels.
Things, of course. That's wonderful. That's called thinking. You're engaged. Good. Not to them.
But one thing I'm coming to the conclusion of is that these people aren't human.
I won't argue that. I won't. Not at all.
I don't know. I'm starting to lean towards David Icke. Maybe they're all reptiles from another planet. I don't know.
There's some kind of collective evil out there, and
there
it is connected. And I don't
it
know
is.
How, I don't know why, you might want to call it the Masons, the Masonic Order. I don't know. I do know that dual citizens in this country certainly are linked and connected philosophically, geopolitically. We know that, and that's, I don't want to get you in trouble with that, but this is a fact. These are facts. No one's making this stuff up.
No, those people have a hive mind. I've seen it personally. I know for a fact
there you
that
go.
They have.
Yeah.
They always do what's good for them. And they know, I had a lot of friends among those people.
Right.
I was an honorary those people myself. And then 9/11 happened. And, I saw through that in about an hour. Inside job. Nope. Oh, I just created another hate crime. Oh, my God, Jeff, they're coming for me.
Oh, come on, friend. We got this is crazy. And this is not a program that originates in Canada. This program originates in another country, which has a Bill of Rights and a Constitution, has nothing to do with Canadian law. And you were a guest on this program. Technically, you were a guest here in the U.S., not there, even though you're physically there, but your voice was over here. And if they don't like the program, they should just make it unavailable there. I can't believe what they did. And sent you a clip of this program and said, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll give you a little, they'll say, this video was taken down for community guideline infringement. If you want to combat it, you can, and then it gives you a timestamp, so you can click on the timestamp of your video, and it takes you directly to the point in the video where you committed your hate crime.
I'm thoroughly disgusted to hear this. I really am.
Yeah, but
and we're the only country in the world, Stefan, that has a constitution like this and a Bill of Rights. No, other countries don't have that. Americans think that the whole planet is pretty much the same. Oh, my God, are they wrong? We try to tell them.
No, I have to be honest with you. One of the things I admire most about the United States is the Constitution. Whatever you want to say about the Founding Fathers, some of them were Masons or whatever, but they put together a document. The best document you could write, because I've thought about this, how do you keep corruption out of government? You separate powers, right? And you separate church from state, and you have checks and balances. And who was it said that Benjamin Franklin, we've created a republic if you can keep it. So the Constitution, I wish Canada had a constitution like the Americans do. We have a constitution, of course. We have our McDonald's constitution
It
means nothing. It has no power. Nobody obeys it. It's a joke. But at least they tried. The Founding Fathers tried the best they could. And, I've examined it, and I'm thinking, excuse me, There's no way I can improve on that. They've covered it as best you can in a written document to try and prevent the kind of degradation and corruption that we now have. They did their best, and it worked for a while. You know, it was very good for a while. But, you know, we dropped the ball on that many, many decades ago. And, well, here we are. Which is why it is so important, Jeff. We got to keep fighting. Listen, I don't know about you. I look at you as a brother, and I think we are in the same foxhole.
Oh, you bet. You bet. Sure.
But we're not. I'm not giving up, Jeff. I'm not giving up. I don't want to lose to these people, so I won't give up. And I'm going to keep fighting it. Okay, I got to take down a bunch of videos just to be on the safe side. I got to start planning a way of disappearing, so in case they do come for me. I had a bit of a scare the other night. 4:30 in the morning, I was woken up by the police. They shone a flashlight through my bedroom window, and they were yelling up to my bedroom window. Now, I think it's because I'm the only one here that sleeps with the window open. I always sleep with the window open. And I had a desk light or a night light on it, so it looked like I was awake.
Right.
But it was the OPP, the Ontario Provincial Police, which is the police force that kind of regulates the countryside, right? Sort of like state troopers. And they were yelling up, "Hello, hello!" I wake up out of bed. "Hello," I yell. I thought it was my neighbor. Sometimes she. Not often, but a couple of times she knocked on my door. There was something wrong. Anyway, so look out the window. There's the police. "Can you let us into the building?" We got a 911 call. So anyways, I said, "Okay, I'll be right down there." I went down, opened up the front door, let them into the building. And you know who was there? Four of the prettiest blondes I've ever seen.
Cops?
Yeah, four blondes. They were so pretty, young girls, and I'm thinking, oh, good, because if I ever need a gun in an emergency, I know where to get one. I'll get it from these pretty girls. Mm-hmm. And anyways, they came in and busted down the door. I don't know what went on. It was maybe a medical emergency or whatever.
They busted down at someone else's door.
Yeah, someone else's door.
Yeah.
But listen. That's how fast it can happen, right, Jeff? You know, you woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and there's four cops at your door. This time it was okay. They weren't after me. But who knows next time? So I'm already planning, you know, ways of trying to escape and go underground. We have to think about these things. Look, it's in my survival collection, how to go underground, how to escape and evade.
You're talking about... physically underground or figuratively underground?
Figuratively underground. Yeah.
Okay. You're going off the grid.
Yeah, you got to go off the grid. You got to disappear for a while. You know, you need to set up somebody that'll come in to your house or your apartment and check in on it every couple of days. And but you got to be gone. You got to be gone where they can't find you. So you might have to stay out in a cabin somewhere in the woods for a few months or stay with some friends in another part of the state.
Sure.
And don't let anybody know where you are. And, of course, don't use your cell phone or anything like that. And but you need to start planning that a little bit now, especially, you know, people like Jeff Rentz and myself where, you know, we open our mouth too much and they don't like us. And so we're next on the list, right?
Oh, they've got lots of lists, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. People used to say, "Oh, aren't you worried about that you're on a list?" I said, no. The important thing is, what list are you not on? Which is
correct.
Correct. Which is the list of the big boys. You're not on their list, so everybody else is just, what did they call it in Blade Runner? Little people. So, we're all little people unless you're on the big list.
Well, but I don't know how big it is. That you know, all the tribe lists, I'm on the spitlickers list, we'll call it that.
The bootlickers list. And even even if you're on the bootlickers list, that's not going to make sure you're safe either.
How about the group, your group? Do each of these, what do we call them, survival groups? What do you call them?
Communities, support group.
Survival community?
Community support group. It's not threatening. I wouldn't call it a survival group, even though that's the
community
focus.
Support group is excellent.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Anything new since your last visit? It's been a couple of months ago. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, let's see. The medical team had a meeting. Now, as I mentioned before, we have the team system. So we have different teams, communications team, medical team, garden team.
Yeah.
And if there's something comes up that needs to be discussed, they will hold their meeting 1 hour before the regular meeting. So the regular meeting is 7 to 9. But if there's something we need to discuss amongst the medical team, then we'll meet at 6 o'clock. Or if it's something that needs to be discussed among the communications team, we'll meet at 6 o'clock. So 2 weeks ago, they had a 6 o'clock meeting among the medical team. And what they were discussing is whether or not they should buy a shipping container and convert it into a treatment center.
Oh, good idea.
So we've already got like the 3 emergency medical stashes at the homes of members of the medical team. For example, one of the stashes is 5 minutes from where I am. So if there is an emergency and if there are injuries, go to so-and-so's house and they'll welcome you in. They'll put you up, give you a bed. We've got, nurses and so on to look after you and treat your injuries, and we've got medicine.
Terrific.
So that's a good start, okay? It's like a first aid station, right? We did that with St. John Ambulance. That was part of our duties, was we would go to, public events like the Calgary Stampede football games or whatever, and we'd bring the ambulance there and we'd set up a tent and we would treat anybody that got injured at the event. So we've done that already, but now trying to bring it to the next level, we want to see if we can create permanent or semi-permanent clinics and create one permanent clinic within our county. We'll still have the 3 first aid stations, but if there are more injuries and more serious injuries, then let's bring them to the clinic where we would have more equipment and be able to look after them. So that's what it's in the planning stages, Jeff. Now,
I like this idea. That's a very nice addition. Your group is spread out over how many miles? Just draw a radius around it, a circle around it.
About 25 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, about 25 miles. And I think we've got a new member for the medical team. I did a interview with Mike Adams, the health ranger.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of emails. And one of the emails I got was from a woman that lives in the community here. And she works at a clinic. She's a naturopath. So
excellent.
I spoke to her, very nice lady. And then I sent her name around other members of the community, and they wrote back and they said, "Oh yeah, we know her. She's very good. She's a well-known naturopath in the community here. She works with mostly pregnancies and mothers." Mm-hmm. And another person wrote back and said, "Oh, and she's wide awake. She knows exactly what's going on. So she's a perfect fit for our community." So I've got another, medical practitioner recruited to our medical team, so that's good.
For our listeners who might have missed before, you have what amounts to, is it a van? Don't you have an ambulance-like or double-duty, double-purpose van or something?
We're looking into that. We're looking to try and get something like that. There is an ambulance. There's a system here out in the countryside. I forget the name of what they call it. But what they do is they have an ambulance staffed by two paramedics that will drive out into the remote areas where there's people living by themselves, right? Mostly seniors, you know, and they're all on their own or they're out in a log cabin out in the woods, and they don't have easy access to a doctor's office or a hospital, and they might need medication, and they might need to have their blood pressure and blood sugar checked.
Oh, sure.
And what they'll do is they'll drive out to them, and they'll bring them the prescription drugs that they need, and they'll do their blood pressure and so on, and make sure everything's okay. And that whole program is funded by a government grant. So I'm looking into doing that ourselves as well. If we can get a mobile ambulance, and you can buy them. They're for sale. You can find one of these old ambulances.
Well, a paramedic van, you can find them. They're around.
They're around. Sure. You might need to fix it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then have a couple of people on standby.
I really like this idea. You could do it with a paramedic van. It's a typical paramedic van.
Exactly.
That would be excellent. And if you wanted to get a steel container, sure, you could do that too. It could be made very nice inside. This is really very, very exciting to hear. I know it sounds a little bit corny, but we haven't done this for ourselves in this country, in this culture. I can't remember when. It's so appropriate now.
Well, around the 1900s, Jeff, but to be honest with you, the old first mutual aid societies, not only did they do this, they built their own hospitals. They built their own retirement communities, their seniors' homes. From the funds they raised from members. So for us to try and build a small medical facility, a clinic.
You got a naturopath and a couple of RNs. You're there.
Yeah, we got four RNs. We got first responders. Yeah. We got a Chinese medical doctor. We've got two naturopaths now, and herbalists, massage therapists. So, and our herbalists are good. This is hearsay, all right? But
Of course.
One member in the community had stage 4 prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a death sentence, right? And traditional medicine, well, of course, was failing him. And like many people, you don't go to alternative medicine until you're really desperate, right? So this gentleman, who was the father of one of the members of our community. He's not a member of our community. He's not aware. He doesn't know what's going on, like you and I do, Jeff. But they finally said, he said, well, it's hopeless now. I'm going to be dead in 3 months. I'm willing to listen to you. So they prescribed him a tea, just a tea, Jeff. And he drank that tea 3 times a day. And within 6 weeks, the cancer was in complete remission. The doctors can't explain it. Of course they can't explain it. They can never explain anything because they don't know what they're doing. And he's still alive and healthy to this day.
I know that tea. Yeah, used to be known as fluorescence or Essiac. That's probably what it was.
That sounds familiar. I think you're right.
The nurse who was behind this, she got it from the Ojibwe Indians in Canada. And she came within one vote, I believe I'm right, of allowing this to be used as a formal cancer treatment in all of Canada. One vote short. And they said, nope. And that was the high water mark of her effort to get this this tea made available. Her name was Reen, R-E-N-E. Last name was C-A-I-S-S-E, Reen Case. And if you spell Reen Case backwards, take her last name and just use that backwards, E-S-S-I-A-C, Essiac. That's the common name of the tea.
Wow.
Named after the nurse who almost made it legal in Canada.
Wow, you are very well informed, Jeff. You know more about it than I do.
Well,
but yeah, that all of that sounds familiar. I think that's what they used. And like I said, this, well, it's hearsay, but I heard it directly from the woman that prescribed them the tea. Why would she lie about that? You know,
no, I
know
the she woman, wouldn't. No,
I know
no,
the woman no. personally. She's as honest as the day is long. A beautiful woman, married, 4 kids. She helps everybody all the time, everywhere, loving, caring. And I would really find it hard to believe that she would lie to me about that story. So, well, there you go. We've got people.
We got to do this
for ourselves, Jeff. And that's why I keep promoting it, because look what we're up against. You know, we're up against these Bolsheviks that are going to lock you up for life because you misgendered somebody, you know. We got to get away from these people, and most importantly, we got to get away from the medical system. You know, they're out to kill you.
Death by medicine is, I think, number one or number two in America now. Leading cause of death. Death by doctor.
You probably know this. There's actually a name for it.
Iatrogenic medicine death.
There you go. Death by doctor.
Yeah. Do you have people contact you and say, Stefan, we're ready to move. Can we move into your area and join your group? Do you ever get that?
Yes, sort of. I just did a consultation with a beautiful woman in Texas. And they got a 7-acre farm there. They're outside of San Antonio. And so I did a consultation with her, and she asked me, basically she wanted the answer to the question that just about everybody that contacts me for a consultation wants to know, and that is, should I move? Because, I told her, I said, San Antonio, I've always heard it was a beautiful city there and very nice, and you know, I've been in Houston.
Not anymore, my friend. It's changed a lot.
That's what she said. She said, not anymore. It's because of the refugee problem, and the crime is through the roof. And now she's worried because they're far enough outside San Antonio, but maybe not far enough.
She's under the umbrella of a county administration. And there are a lot of communists there now, I hear, that have moved in, and they take over. They take over city councils. They take over the school board. They know how to do it.
Yes.
But she's under their boot somehow. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't be calling, I'm sure.
Well, she asked me. We spoke for 2 hours. I always do like a two-hour consultation. We went over every option and consideration. You know, how much money do you have?
Right.
What kind of resources do you have? And I told her, I said, listen, you know, all things considered, you're better off where you are. Stay where you are. I mean, even if you do move, and a lot of people ask me, oh, should I move to Costa Rica? Should I move to Mexico? I said, well, yeah, but the cost of moving, and then you're going to a place where you know nobody, and you have to start all over again from scratch, and the place you move to might not be any better. Like, even if I said, a lot of people want to move to, like, North Dakota or Wyoming or Idaho. Yeah, okay, you're way the hell out there in the middle of nowhere. There's a few population. Number one, have you ever spent a winter out there? You might not want to live there. And besides, it doesn't mean you are safe from crime. So we went over everything, and actually I want to share this with you, Jeff. I told her, I said, the best thing to do is fortify your home, and disguise it. They have a chain link fence that runs around the property. I said, great. So get that strip, you know, the kind of green plastic strip that they wave.
Yes, yes. I know what you mean. Yeah.
So you can't see in, right?
Right.
The only thing she's
threaded through the chain link. You don't see it. I know.
Yeah, so you have, you know, privacy protection because you don't want people to be able to see. Like, their property runs up alongside one major, well, not a major road, not a highway or anything, but a road, you know, that leads out of San Antonio. So that if these people start, you know, hitting the road and going out in the countryside to loot farmhouses, which they will do, okay, let's fortify your farmhouse. First of all, let's make sure they can't see inside. You don't want them to know what's in there, you know, make it. So let's do that. And then the other thing I recommended, and that is set up booby traps around the perimeter. And one of the best booby traps I've ever come across was a 12-gauge tripwire. Have you ever heard of this?
Go ahead. I think so, but go ahead.
I'm saying this because you might want to consider this for your property there. So a 12-gauge tripwire, you can get it on Amazon. Prices start at like $25 a piece, but better spend a little bit more, make sure you get a better quality because I read the reviews. And so $25 to $50. And what it is, it's a device. It has a spring and a striking pin, and it fits a 12-gauge shotgun shell. And you're supposed to use a blank with it, and you put the blank in there, you pull back the pin, and it's got like a cotter pin, and you attach your trip wire to that. So if anybody hits that trip wire, that 12-gauge shell will go off. And if you have a 12-gauge shotgun shell go off within 20 feet of you, you're going to jump pretty high. It makes a lot of noise. And so I said, one thing we can do is set up tripwire around the perimeter of your property. Now, if you want to get really nasty, you can cut a piece of pipe, the kind of pipe that will fit a 12-gauge shell. I forget what it is. It's probably like a 3/4-inch pipe. You only need it to be about 2 inches, 3 inches long. And it just has to fit over the shell. And then use a live shell. And then aim it in the direction you want it to come from. And you've got like a mini claymore. Right? They hit that trip wire.
I can't believe they sell these on Amazon. They do, huh?
Yeah, but you got to modify it to turn it into a lethal weapon, okay?
And I understand. I get it.
But to modify it, it's nothing. It's a piece of pipe. Because what they, you know, I've seen videos of this. You set off a shotgun shell just by itself. Well, yeah, it'll explode and make a loud noise and smoke. But the pellets won't actually go anywhere, right? But if you enclose that shotgun shell inside a tube and then set it off, then it will shoot those pellets, you know, I recommend double hot buck, out through the end of that tube. You don't have to even, you know, solder it in place or screw it in place. So long as it's fit snug over the 12-gauge shell, it will come out the front, and you've got like a mini claymore that you can set up on your property. The only thing, though, with that is it is lethal. And the thing with booby traps is you don't know if it's a good person you know, stepping in on it. Maybe it's the family dog. Maybe it's one of the cows. They have sheep on their property. Maybe one of the sheep. So you got to be very careful about making it lethal. But, hey, how easy is it? All you have to do is, you know, when you get a report, there's, you know, 40 looters coming up the highway. Let's go out and put that piece of tubing around the shotgun shell, aim it, you know, at the fence, at the gate, at the entrance, and anybody comes through there, they're going to get a face full of buckshot.
Hey, I'm looking right now on Amazon. And if you do a search for tripwire, you'll find a number of different products. One of them actually uses sound. It gets very loud. If somebody is sneaking around your property and trips it, it'll go off. And the other ones have 12-gauge. That's also sound, but they can be modified, obviously. Now, this is very interesting. It's another way to secure your perimeter at night.
There's all kinds of
things. Yeah.
And like I was explaining to her, too, criminals, the kind of criminals we're looking at, number one, they're cowards. And they're not organized. I've seen you've seen these videos, these home invaders, five of them with guns kicking down the door and the person inside fires a couple of rounds and they trip over each other running away and being dragged behind the getaway car. So it's not like you need, a well-trained armed response to these people. You just got to make a little bit of noise because they're basically cowards to begin with. So I said, well, listen, so you've got your fence around the property and you've got you've woven through that plastic strip in between the chain link fence. They can't see inside whether or not it's worth breaking into your location to steal things. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to send one guy over the fence. Okay, so they send one guy over the fence. He jumps down. He takes three steps. Boom, a shotgun shell goes off. You want to see how fast this guy flies over the fence backwards?
Yep.
Right?
All right, very good. We have to say goodnight this time, but triple arm, they call it. Triple arm, tripwire, 12-gauge. You can find them on Amazon. You go camping or whatever. You want to have security at night. That's one way to do it. An RV, you're parking out off the grid somewhere or whatever. A home, anything. What a good idea. Thank you, Stefan. You've made it all more than worthy again, and we'll look forward to our next visit. You be safe out there now, and I like this idea of a shipping container as a clinic, maybe a paramedic ambulance, get a used one somewhere. They're around. They're around. All right, great. Maybe a documentary on your project there, too, at some point. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Thank you, Jeff, for having me on. You have a good month.
Thank you, Stefan. We'll talk soon. All right.
Okay.
You be well.
Good night. Okay.
All right, that's it. We got to run. Have a good weekend. Have a productive weekend. Have a thoughtful weekend. And every day is a blessing. Don't forget that. Talk soon. Take care.